because we've seen the other side. We've grown up in India and we know what being Indian means growing up. And then the others who grew up here, who happen to be our kids, our nephews, our nieces, etc. So if I don't eat bibimbap and listen to K-pop and watch K-drama, I'm not welcome in my own household. So to me, the life is changing and we have to adapt to new tastes. And I don't think there's any right or wrong. So the question is about, you know, what perspective you have. And, you know, we try to inculcate values in our children, as long as those values, and maybe we should focus the conversation about more on values and say, hey, do people who grew up here who have an Indian background, do they still grow up, you know, with those values, or they lose those values? And that may be a very interesting conversation.
Well, hold on, guys. Let me start something. Let me interject here real quick for those people who are going to be listening to us on a podcast. We couldn't record the first 10 minutes of this or 7 minutes of this program.
We haven't discussed much. So
right.
Yeah.
But just for those who are just picking up right now on the podcast,
right.
Due to a technical difficulty, which I did not expect to encounter so quickly, but I managed to overcome it because of my superb engineering background.
Woohoo.
But anyway, the topic that we're talking about, this is on the, which segment of the program is this, Sanjali?
It's called What's Up.
Hey, what's up?
Hey, what's up? So
it's our talk show version.
It's our talk show where we, you know, pick different topics that, you know, pick people's interests. And
right.
Yeah, relevant to our community.
Yeah, right.
And
go ahead, Jawan.
I'm sorry. And the topic we're picking up on is one we tried to discuss at some length 2 weeks ago. It's the Americanization of Indians, and that's where Balaji came in and says, you know, you were talking about whether it's really important or not, or whether we as Indians need to change anyway because we are the immigrants here in this society.
I mean, it's not so much that we have to change, and I think, you know, as they say that, you know, based on where you are, you have to adapt to the conditions that you live around you. And if you're so different, then, you know, people will continue to look at you very differently. If you want to get amalgamated into the society you live in, whether it's been Bombay, you know, you migrated from Chennai and went to Bombay, or from Kerala and went to Bombay, or you migrated from India and came to Sugarland.
Yeah.
You know, I think the situation is still the same. You have to, you know, understand where you live in and what the culture is and adapt to the cultures. And you bring your own.
And that's where we, Sridhar, you were picking up.
Yeah. See, I call our generation as the transition generation. We grew up in the traditional India with the traditional values. We came over. For us, it was a huge shift.
Mm-hmm.
And I also call our generation as a survivor generation.
And I call our generation the lost generation.
That too. but our next generation doesn't have the same problems that we did, which is adapting to the traditional Indian way of living to the, as we all can acknowledge, 40 years ago when we came into this country, 30 years ago, that the difference in the cultural values, the difference in lifestyle, the difference in economics was just huge between India and the United States. So we had to change and adapt. Is that true for our kids? Or is it the values like Balaji is talking about, right? The conflict is always in the values. It's not about, hey, can my shorts go shorter than what we are used to seeing? And that's a value. What value do we espouse when we tell our kids, nope, your shorts have to be like in our schools yesterday, the girl's skirt should be knee high, right?
Right.
Is that even applicable?
So the powerful thinkers in this group here today are Balaji Ramakrishnan, and then Sridhar Kota, who's also a guest host from time to time, and Sanjali Basu, who's, of course, our host every week.
Right.
She's the hostess with the mostess.
So we did discuss quite a bit of it in an earlier session.
Right.
And there were some issues that, you know, we missed that we didn't get enough time to talk about. So last time it was Chetan Dave who was here.
Right.
Yeah.
And so the topics that we did discuss back then was how language becomes the carrier of the culture. You lose the language, you lose part of that culture.
Mm-hmm.
And another part of that is the aspect of the familiar versus the formal tense of language, the aap and tu. you know, who
the relationship is addressed in the conversation, right? Like correct. When you say brother-in-law or
yeah,
mother-in-law.
We already talked about the language part. We talked about some of the faith part. We talked a little bit about the culture, the traditions, the values, you know, are they being, you know, carried over, you know, through.
And we were just touching on the interracial marriage part.
Yes.
And but one of the things I just wanted to complete that line of thought about the boo versus tu is it becomes you. And for a lot of the new generation, it's an easy vehicle to become very familiar with you. So the Sridhar Ji and, you know, Garu,
as we talked about,
Guru and Garu and everything, they just yeah. drop off. And because it makes it familiar, so.
But the only distinction here, right? English is the only language that doesn't have the distinction. You take Spanish,
mm-hmm.
you have tu and you have usted.
Right.
You take German,
same
you
with
have
French.
Du and you have Z.
Right.
Same with Bengali, Hindi, Gujarati.
Every language
yeah.
except English.
Yeah.
Right, right. And that's either a powerful tool or just a atomic bomb. What do you think, Balaji?
I don't think so. It's just a question of what you're used to or what you're expecting. So I think if you grow up in a particular culture, let's say, you know, you bring a generation of people, let's say your parents or somebody come over to visit you, right?
Mm-hmm.
They live in that the other society and they come here and suddenly their grandson or grandchild is calling them by their name.
Mm-hmm.
It's very odd for them because they're not used to that because they think that's it's disrespectful for them. But in the situation, I think both the kids who are calling them by their name as well as the people who are feeling offended because somebody didn't respect them, they both have a right in some sense because that's what they've been used to in the cultures that they are adapted to.
Mm-hmm.
But if you really argue moral, ethically, whatever, is anything wrong happening here? Probably not.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's normal that it happens, and this is what they call generation gap, culture gap, whatever. And when you move from one generation to another generation, these things happen.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's actually good that these things happen. And, you know, in my view, I feel like if we don't change with the times, with the society that we live in, adapt to the culture and learn from the things, in an area where we live in, then we're missing out.
What do you think, Sanchali?
I feel that Americanization of Indians has taken quite a positive turn in the last, I would say, decade mm-hmm. or so, where a lot of Indian Americans or American Indians, however you want to call them, have taken lots of, you know, important positions in office and, you know, have a lot of say, and especially in the medical field. I think it's totally dominated by Indians, you know. So there are so many Indian doctors, even in the remotest, because I've worked in some of these very, very remote corners of mm-hmm. the U.S. The only doctors you'll find there are Indians.
Indian origin.
Because
yeah.
they come here to get their immigration, basically, you know, so they're...
So I have an interesting story. I went to Longview, Texas on work many years ago, and I was eating in an Italian restaurant. I think it was called Piada or something.
Uh-huh.
And this young girl who was waiting on me comes up to me and says, "Are you my doctor?"
I play one on TV.
So I think
is true, you know. So I feel, you know, the Indians have come a long, long, long way. We've made strides, inroads into the main, you know.
And to your point,
yeah.
when you watch TV these days, you see a lot of Indian names
correct.
Coming up. Just last night, I was watching one of my favorite programs, Blue Bloods.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I love that show.
It's a great show.
Yeah.
And the music was Siddhartha Khosla.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Okay.
I thought, wow. You know, the other day, Raj Kapoor was the guy,
yes.
executive producer for the Oscars.
Right.
So we see a lot more Indians in many, many aspects.
Right.
And this final frontier
mm-hmm.
being Hollywood entertainment, they're cracking into it very, very quickly.
Big time.
So that brings
Big
up
time.
An interesting question,
yeah.
right? We talk about this is the career transition aspect of Americanization.
Mm-hmm.
If it was in India and you want your kid to go be a cinematographer or something to do with drama, the parents' blocks would have been stronger.
Yeah. Initial
right?
pushback.
Initial
yeah.
pushback.
Yeah.
Has that really happened now Are we seeing a lot more, or is it just that the population is bigger and therefore you see a sampling of it?
But I want to tackle that and then you can, Sanchali, yeah. But I think they're the people, the success stories are quite a few.
Yes.
And therefore a lot of people are trying to emulate them. What's his name, that comedian, Russell Peters. He makes $30 million a year just doing what he's doing.
Mm-hmm. There are a lot of Indian comedians.
Stand-up comedians, there are lots of them.
So the entertainment business is certainly blossoming with a lot of Indian faces and South Asian faces.
Although I know a family, and I don't want to name names on the show here, the person is becoming a real good stand-up comedian, but there is always the tension, will my child make it?
Mm.
Following this as a career path, right?
Right.
So that challenge exists. And the fear. And as Indians, first generation or immigrant Indians, we are so tuned to the money-making professions as the only way and get them to the safety path.
We only think of those as a second, fallback thing,
fallback.
Not the main profession. But now that, you know, people are doing so well in, say, sports,
mm-hmm.
you know, in all other areas like music, like dance, you know,
right.
and so people can think of a profession in those fields,
right.
So I think a lot of Indians have taken advantage of that and they're doing really well.
And in that, Sanchali, there's also... Let's say you try it for 5 years and it fails. In this society, everything is open to have a second
career.
You can
still go back to school and get a degree and do something else.
You can do a lot of other
else.
Things
so
and change.
What, what you're saying, it actually falls into Balaji's line of thinking, which is to integrate within the society so you can make a mark.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, in the arts, this is happening very fundamentally.
Yes, in the arts and sports. You know, I think, you know.
But in sports, there's not very many Indian faces. Mani Malhotra was the only guy with the Toronto Leafs.
Yeah.
So there are two golfers of Indian origin
Correct.
Who are playing in the Masters tournament. They're ranked in the top 15. One of them is ranked in the top 15. The other one is ranked 34. The golf circuit. So,
Correct.
You know.
But,
I think
but any of the competitive sports like the basketball, baseball, football,
they're not there, but if you look at the data analytics side of the business and sports, you go to look at the San Diego Chargers and who's doing the analytics for on the play-by-play,
mm-hmm.
you will find names from
Plus,
India.
They're owners of many of these, you know, who are of Indian origin. So
Right.
Yeah. And we've had some of them on our show. But we are getting very close to our first commercial break. So we have two more minutes and then we'll go to a commercial break. So, yeah.
So which parental impediments exist today for the Americanization of our next gen Indian kids?
Well, I think for some people, it's religion.
Okay.
Because there's, some religions don't allow, Islam doesn't allow a lot of freedom for the women to be able to participate in certain things. And maybe that's a problem, I don't know. Not in the professions. In the professions it's okay, but in the entertainment business, for example.
Mm.
So, hold that thought, folks. We will be going into a commercial break. And as you know, you're listening to Indo-American News Radio. And we are doing our Unplugged session. And this week we are doing another edition of Hey, What's Up? And this week we are talking about Americanization of Indians. We'll be right back after the commercial break.
You're tuned into Masala Radio, 98.7 FM.
माँ जो मसाले चुन के लाती थी फिर पिसवाती थी फिर अपना प्यार मिलाकर जो खाना बनाती थी कितने मसाले ट्राई किए पर अब खाने में वो टेस्ट नहीं आता है well, वो स्वाद जो दिला दे माँ की याद वो अब इंडिया से ताजा एंड फ्रेश आता है विद क्वालिटी दैट्स माँ अप्रूव्ड डीप स्पाइसेस घर के पिसे मसालों जैसे फ्रेश एक बार खाएंगे बार बार यही लाएंगे स्पाइसेस अवेलेबल इन डिफरेंट साइजेस ऑफ पैकेट्स एंड जार्स अवेलेबल इन स्टोर्स एंड स्टोर्स कैन ऑर्डर ऑनलाइन फॉर यू डीप स्पाइसेस खाओ तो जानो
वो ना मेरे दिल पे राज करती है
अच्छा कैसी है वो
तीखी भी है और मीठी भी
किसकी बात कर रहे हो
ऑनेस्ट रेस्टोरेंट के राज कचोरी की और किसकी
आए हाय
तो चलो चलते हैं ऑनेस्ट और ट्राई करते हैं राज कचोरी
चलो चलो
धार्मिक एंड भूमि ऑफ ऑनेस्ट इनवाइट्स एवरीवन टू ट्राई राज कचोरी एंड लॉट्स ऑफ अदर डिलीशियस चाट आइटम्स
ऑनेस्ट ऑन हिलक्रॉफ्ट
नाउ ओपन्स एट 11 o'clock 832-767-5843
ऑनेस्ट इज ऑसम
And welcome back, folks. This is Indo-American News Radio, and we are in our unplugged session. We're talking about the Americanization of Indians, and Sanjali is taking a number down from somebody who's calling in. Hopefully, we can have them on. This is Jawahar, and we're Bala Ramakrishnan, and Sridhar Kota. And we wanted to touch on a subject that you brought out, Balaji. Go ahead.
So I think, you know, one of the things I think we all...
Thank you.
I think one thing we need to pay attention to the fact is that, you know, we're talking about Americanization of Indians, but, you know, a lot of the folks we are talking about, the next gen especially, are all born in the U.S. They are actually born and raised as Americans. They're born in a family that... Probably, you know, the parents grew up in India and, mm-hmm. and then immigrated to the U.S. So that connection is there. But most of these people are trying to form their identity, and they grow up as Americans. Mm-hmm. They go to school, and they are studying with all the American kids. The only difference being the color of their skin is slightly different, mm-hmm. and people may look or react to them differently just because of that. Mm-hmm. But other than that, you know, most of our kids grow up as Americans.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
I think that's an important distinction to make.
And it goes, it adds on to what you were saying earlier, so they have to compete as Americans.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, the listener who just called, he was talking about so many Indians have made it to the Forbes millionaire list. So I told him that, you know, we're not talking about people who are in India, people who have come here and who have made it over here.
And there's a few of those.
There's a few of those, yeah, of course.
So, so going on to that, expanding on from there, what about our impact on the culture that we are in, on the society we're in? Are we reshaping that society to the benefit of everybody? Is that society providing us with enough opportunity to make that happen? So what do you think, Sridhar?
Oh, I absolutely think we are making more and more of an impact, and it's more noticeable now, just like what Sanjali was talking about, the CEOs of major corporations, billionaires, art, related successes. Engineering, medicine was the first one, then came engineering, we got accountants, we got finance professionals, we've got the jewelry markets in New York, which used to be a Jewish-dominated business. There's good representation from mm-hmm. the Indian community, mm-hmm. the diamond business.
Mm-hmm.
So you tell me which walk of life we do not participate.
Well, no, but we are making an impact professionally, but are we making a change in the society that we live in?
Well, they dance, they come and participate in Holi. Diwali is celebrated. It's acknowledged as a festival that is...
In the White House,
In the White House. So yeah. I think we are making... let's understand, like you brought up, right? Originally, religion is an impediment,
mm-hmm.
right? So for a moment, let's assume that the majority of the Indian population is of Hindu origin or Hindu practice. That's completely, completely alien to the Abrahamic religions.
Yeah.
And for it to even start making inroads and being accepted... I think it's commendable.
Mm-hmm,
in
mm-hmm.
every aspect of life, we have made an impact, and it's acknowledged.
What do you think, Balaji?
So I probably try to take a slightly different take on this. I mean, I don't believe that culturally we are making a significant impact. We are making impacts, but there's a lot more to do compared to other cultures that are here in the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason
maybe... For example, like what? Other cultures.
I mean, you talked about Jewish. I mean, you know, people, the way they would... celebrate a Jewish festival in the U.S. may be very different.
Well,
they've been here longer.
Could be longer, or right. There's more integration of them into the society. Okay. Indians are not as...
Because Indians just started immigrating not too long ago. So, you know, we have way to go.
Well, at least 60, 70 years ago.
Right.
70s was probably the first wave, mid-60s to 70s.
No, the first waves were in California. With the Sikhs.
That was 70, 80 years ago.
Farmers.
We're talking about 19, early 1900s.
But they also did not come. Don't have to argue about it.
Right.
But,
the numbers. Yeah, numbers.
So let me complete
numbers.
My thought. Yes. There's a different point I wanted to make. And I honestly have not celebrated a Diwali like the way I enjoyed it in India when I grew up. I mean, I know we have Diwali festivals here. Okay, I never celebrated Diwali the way we celebrate in a festival. I feel like what we call culture in the U.S., Indian culture in the U.S., and I may be an outlier here, but I would say There's too much reliance on Bollywood to describe what Indian culture is.
I agree.
And we all need to get away from Bollywood.
Yeah.
Holi, if you celebrate Holi, it should be like we celebrate Holi in our, you know, in our flats and in our families in India, not the way, you know, that some Bollywood movie showed how Holi is celebrated. And that's what is being, you know, that's how we are bringing in the Americans. You know, when our kids go and celebrate Holi, and I don't want to say who organizes the Holi thing in Houston, that's how they celebrate. I feel like that's not Holi to me. Holi or Diwali or whatever is the way we celebrate
so
in our family.
It's watered down.
It's, yeah, all Bollywood based over here, all the Indian culture that people know about, it is very true that it's all based on the Bollywood culture. And it's not a correct reflection of what, you know, is actually celebrated back home in India.
But should it? But should it be? Is the question.
Well, but
this is part of Americanization, isn't
right,
it?
Right.
But there's also a limiting factor. There's not a high density population base to make that happen. For example, right now in Sugar Land, maybe you could get away with it in five or different subdivisions where the majority of the people are Indian, and so if they go out, they can celebrate Holi on their street if they wanted to.
Which we did. We did it on our cul-de-sac.
Right.
Yeah.
So, but on the other hand, if they did it in my neighborhood, there's like 10 Indians that live in the whole 800 homes.
Mm-hmm.
So it was just, the density of population isn't there. So, but it's a step in the right direction. However, talking about Abrahamic religions, there's a distinct advantage of all those religions. We're talking about Christianity, Judaism, and Islam,
mm-hmm.
because they come from the same root.
Correct.
Therefore, they kind of piggyback on each other.
Correct.
And they feel like, at least up to the Old Testament, right?
That's right.
So they feel some kinship there. And Hinduism, Sikhism, Jainism,
Buddhism, they're all completely alien.
Alien.
Yep.
And so they have a lot more work to be done in order to get them more into rest of society to understand how to deal with them.
Simple things like vegetarian. When I came in 85, 87, people would say, take the meat out and eat the rest. That's vegetarian, right?
Uh-huh.
That's the level of separation that was there.
Yes.
Now you find vegetarian food everywhere. It is acknowledged that it is a way of eating. And people are respectfully helping out in the cause, right?
Yeah. Do we have a caller?
Yes. It's Bharat Bhai Dallaswale. He would like to be live on air. He had a couple of thoughts. Hello, Bharat Bhai. You're on air.
Bharat Bhai Suchale.
Hello, did we lose
comments you? I've been hearing. They're very good.
Yeah.
But I wanted to add a couple of points.
Yes.
Regarding our Indian celebration. I think Sridharji was mentioning Diwali celebration. So I think he's right in up to a point. But I think we all have to work towards a social celebration also, like he was mentioning. And at Emerson, we started
Emerson Electric.
In a couple of years. We did the Diwali celebration, and we replaced our Thanksgiving because Diwali and Thanksgiving comes hand in hand or close to each other.
Wow.
So we did that type, and then we introduced some of our culture where we let other Indian women, other women also wear saris just like we did. So we try to educate and promote Diwali festival. So like that, I'm saying it is slow, but we all have to try our effort to do social
awareness, right?
Media.
Yeah, very good point, Bharat Bhai. Thank you, sir, very much. So good that
I have two minor points I want to add quickly.
Uh-huh.
One other thing is, you said, you know, born and raised kids here.
Mm-hmm.
So my kids, when they were born and raised, they did ice hockey, which was unheard in our Indian culture. So they did ice hockey. And he was a state runner-up for Plano High School.
Wow.
So I'm saying if we open up our mind and give our kids a chance and don't block them, which we have seen in my example. And my other son became an opera singer.
Wow.
But I still always wanted to get some fame. So I always pushed him for sing a Hindi song or something. so that he can represent in our Indian functions also.
Mm-hmm.
So what I'm saying is we just have to continue to try, but I think the progress is very good. That's all I just wanted to mention.
Thank you, Bharat.
Thank you so much for your
Great point. And here's another example, right? So you've all been to Indian restaurants in the U.S., right?
Yes.
We've been in various cities.
Correct.
Did you get Indian culture out of those restaurants?
No, it's very compartmentalized. It's either North Indian, you know, tandoori stuff, or it's South Indian.
Not just on the food. I'm talking about ambience, how the people are dressed up, how they serve you. And I'll give you an example, because here's what... So I went to Budapest recently, and some of you know that. And I went to a restaurant in Budapest. I think it was called Taj something.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Everybody in the restaurant, you know, the waiters, everybody was dressed in Indian costume. Clothes. None of them were Indians, okay? They were all local folks from the country.
Yeah.
They were dressed in saris and kurta pajama.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I felt at home eating in that
restaurant.
I
see what you're saying, yeah.
But I've never experienced that. I mean, I've been to so many Indian restaurants in Houston. I've never once felt like I was being served by...
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of times they're not even...
You get a slight feeling at Maharaja Bhog, at least they try to dress up a little Indian. But you're right, there are way too many restaurants here and nobody really cares.
No, but if you want to give the Indian experience, so here's my point, right? If you want, say you're an Indian serving Indian food, serve in a traditional Indian costume. That's all I'm saying.
Right.
So that the experience for the people coming there, whether it's us or the locals going to that
and
restaurant.
You're right, it stems from the very expensive restaurants to the, you know, not so expensive ones. You're right, they don't wear any Indian outfits.
So that's an example of how we can inculcate culture. I think the example that Bharatji gave was fantastic. That's really what I was alluding to. So for example, we take Navaratri, right? So I mean, it's a women's festival. How do we integrate the local women on the street in that festival? Let's say you do a galu in your house or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Do you invite all the ladies in your street to come in for that? Or you only invite all your Indian friends to come in?
Yeah.
And so that, I mean, that change hasn't happened, I think.
Another thing about India is it's very compartmentalized based on which part of India you're from. We speak so many different languages. I didn't even know what Golu was until I came to the US, believe it or not. So, you know, it's not just about us Indians integrating. First of all, our Indian population needs to integrate first.
Well,
so there is so much compartmentalization amongst the Indians over here. So that is a huge thing as well.
Now, let's move on to another topic. Do you believe that all this effort that people are doing, there's a lot of nonprofits, a lot of charities, a lot of people volunteering and doing seva work and so on, and they're doing this in order, in the name of the community, in the name of Indians giving back. The expression I hear very often is, "We're giving back to the community."
Mm-hmm.
How often have you heard that? We're giving back to the community.
All the different organizations claim that.
But do you think that? Well, let's face it. We live in a predominantly white Anglo-Saxon community. Some areas of the area that we live in, so Sugarland, for example, is equally divided. But do you think that the community is ready to receive us? Do you feel that we get discriminated by the community by virtue of our success or by virtue of our differences? What do you think, Sridhar?
So I'm going to take, that's a fantastic point you raise.
Mm-hmm.
Forget about all the other cultural aspects of things. Serving the community, the question should be changed a little bit, saying, do we and our Indian-based organizations, do we serve the larger community here for the bigger causes? That's where a lot of the culture exchange can happen. Are we doing it?
Right.
We probably cater to our communities, Indian origin communities focus, like politics, how we are not involved in the political landscape, although we see more candidates now coming up. Are we really involved in it?
Mm-hmm.
Are we culturally, from nonprofits, do we take up charity work and do it regardless of whether the recipient is an Indian origin or Asian origin person? That's a bigger question to ask.
Well,
I don't know the answer.
What do you think, Sanjali?
So what I've noticed, I've been in this community for a long time and I've been to all these organizations, different community activities that they participate in. most of them give back to India.
Yeah.
Very few, like Seva, does a lot for the US.
Look, exactly.
Yeah,
yes.
So there are very few which actually give back to the community over here.
Mm-hmm.
And that should not be the case. So I know ICF does some of it, which
right.
is over
yes.
here.
Mm-hmm.
So there are very few which do that. And you have a very valid point. You know, you are here in this community. And oftentimes many people talk about it, that why aren't we giving back to our community over here?
Exactly.
Because we live here, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Well,
so,
but my the thing I was trying to get at is, do you feel like there's a sort of unknown, unwritten discrimination that we're facing in when we're out in the public here? I mean, we might think that we integrate real well, but do you actually sometimes feel like
Houston,
a little left out?
I think in Houston it's not the case. If you go maybe...
Yeah, I have faced a lot of discrimination because I've lived in the... heartland of America in the Midwest, where you
mm-hmm.
hardly see any non-whites. I worked in a hospital where I was the only non-white employee in the entire hospital. Mm-hmm. And I have faced discrimination myself. So, and you could feel it, you could sense it.
Mm.
When you go into that area, you know you have to protect yourself. So I've seen it from the inside and it's not fun. I had to go report stuff to the police department, to the sheriff's office, because there were things done to my property. So anyway, so yes, there is still discrimination out there, and we see a lot of Indian students and all getting attacked and killed. So how far we have integrated with this society, that's still questionable.
Well,
yes.
And so to that, following up on that that question, Shridhar,
I have an anecdote similar to Sanchali's. Can I share that?
Sure, sure.
Okay. So I went to Baylor to do my master's in 85 to 87, got out of Baylor, went to New York for a job, came back to Houston, settled down. In 2006-ish or 2010-ish, I went to Waco again just to go see my alma mater. And I went to a Luby's restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
We walked in, my wife, myself, and both the kids. You could see the way they looked at me at that point was like, why are you here? Why are you here?
Mm.
You could read exactly the expressions like Sanchali was saying.
What town was this?
Waco.
Waco, of course. Yeah.
Okay. So that sort of still exists outside the main urban areas. But in Houston, I don't think any of us face that kind of open discrimination. And I'm happy to be corrected.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, you know, I wanted to follow up on that with another question. But I'm going to let people know how to get in touch with us. This is Indo-American News Radio, the unplugged version. We're doing our Hey, What's Up talk show, which we're going to be doing from time to time. And I think we have a listener who's calling in.
Yes, actually, Mr. Sani is calling.
Okay, we can take him right after this
commercial
break.
After the commercial break, please keep holding, okay? We will be right back, folks. As you know, you're listening to Indo-American News Radio, and we have actually sparked a lot of interest in our listeners. Please call us at 281-277-6874 if you'd like to share your thoughts. We are talking about Americanization of Indians, and we are doing our segment of Hey, What's Up?
Yeah, and when we come back, I want to probe about one other project, one other thought. Have we made ourselves targets?
Okay, let's go to our commercial break. Folks, stay tuned. We'll be right back with our segment of Hey, What's Up on Indo-American News Radio. And please call us at 281-277-6874. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
You are listening to Masala Radio 98.7 FM.
Looking for fresh homemade spices? Chandrika Masala is the place. Chandrika Masala retail outlet at factory location 13220 Murphy Road. Chandrika Masala, 100% homemade spices, attas and chutneys. 713-789-3088. ChandrikaMasala.com. 713-789-3088.
राजा और महाराजा में फर्क क्या है? महाराजा वो है जो कभी किसी के आगे झुकता नहीं. एंड महाराजा ज्वेलर्स इज द वन हु नेवर सरेंडर्स ऑन क्वालिटी. एट महाराजा ज्वेलर्स यू विल फाइंड द मोस्ट अनकॉम्प्रोमाइज फ्लॉलेस डायमंड्स एट वेरी अफोर्डेबल प्राइसेस एवरी डे. नो सेल नीडेड एवर. महाराजा ज्वेलर्स, ब्रिंगिंग डायमंड्स टू लाइफ. 5821 हिलक्रॉफ्ट, 713-480-6776.
शादी की बारात निकलने वाली और फुल दो घंटे डांसिंग चलेगा, लेकिन ये सारे वीडियोस शूट करने के लिए मेरी फोन की बैटरी चलेगी या नहीं?
शादी में फोन की बैटरी चले ना चले, लेकिन शादी में महाराजा के हीरे हमेशा चलेंगे.
वो शादी ही क्या जिसमें महाराजा के हीरे ना हो.
सेलिब्रेट वेडिंग्स विद महाराजा.
5821 हिलक्रॉफ्ट, 713-480-6776.
ब्रिंगिंग डायमंड्स टू लाइफ.
लगता है जैसे कल ही तो हमारी शादी हुई थी. फिर छोटी सी आन्या आ गई. अब देखो हमारी बेटी स्कूल जाने लगी है. सोचती हूँ जिंदगी को कहूँ जरा धीरे चल.
जिंदगी धीरे चले ना चले, लेकिन जिंदगी में महाराजा के हीरे बहुत चलेंगे.
जिंदगी और महाराजा के हीरे दोनों ही बहुत कीमती.
सेलिब्रेट लाइफ विद महाराजा.
5821 हिलक्रॉफ्ट, 713-480-6776.
ब्रिंगिंग डायमंड्स टू लाइफ.
Thank you for all of you waiting on the line, especially Mr. Sani. Mr. Sani's on the line. Randhir, go right ahead.
Okay. How are you?
We're
good.
Fine.
We are doing well. Thank you for calling.
Randhir Sani has been on this side of the studio with us and talking to us about financial things and other things.
Architectural stuff. Yeah.
He's been a long-term resident of Houston. Randhir, go right ahead.
That's why I wanted to talk. I first resisted to talk. Then I said, I will give you my experiences.
Yes.
When I landed in Kansas in 1966, I found that in the School of Architecture, there was total discrimination in the sense they looked at you funny.
Yes.
We call it a wood plank. They call it a board.
Mm.
We call it aerospace. They call it airplane, we call it aero. So there were some English differences that we had. Now, as far as people are concerned, because of the fact that Kansas State and Osmania University had a relationship, they would send, 50, 100 students every year in the Department of Agriculture. So there was a very good understanding from that, and the professors who were there, who had been to India, had a appreciation for us and our culture, which was not okay. So then, fast forward, when I came to Houston, I was amongst the first 100 people from India to land in Houston in 1969.
Mm.
And there was, compared to the Midwest, like Panchali said, Houston was much better. They were interested in understanding you, what the background is, what your culture is, et cetera, et cetera. So there was a lot of acceptance because Houston and Texas have been growing because of in-migration from other parts of this country and other parts of the world. So it's a level of which part of the country you are and what exposure the locals have had. But don't forget, everybody came from somewhere else.
Exactly.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Randhir,
appreciation, and that's growing because their knowledge is growing.
Yeah.
Since you're an architect, I want to pose this one thought to you. I know you and I have talked about this some a long time ago in the past, but don't you think if we really want to make an impact, we need to put our money where our mouth is and build a huge edifice or something, some sort of center, some sort of community area like Little India, convert the whole thing?
If you remember, back in 69, there was one shop that sold Indian merchandise.
Yes.
On Times Avenue.
J Brothers.
And now Hillcroft is known as Gandhi's center, Gandhi area.
Gandhi district.
And there's a plaque over there also.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the thing is that, like, the Jews don't have a separate area. they stay together, and that's what it is. And so it's a question of being at all levels. And that's why we formed Indo-American Political Action Committee to get Indians involved in local politics back starting in 1994. And that has, Jawahar, you've been part of that from part time to time, so you know what I'm talking about. And it made an impact for people to understand we're not dummies who just walked across the fence, across the water, and got here. We have background knowledge, culture, religion, and good values.
Well, Randhir, thank you so much for calling in. We really appreciate your input.
Okay.
Thank you, sir. Bye-bye.
Thank you so much for calling.
Okay, so...
So he had some good points.
What do you think about that? Do you think that we make ourselves targets by virtue of our success? What do you think, Balaji?
I mean, you know, you definitely attract attention by, you know, if you look at just, look at, you know, who's driving what kind of a car, or, you know, who's in the news for being the CEO of this company or that company, and, you know, but I think the jealousies are more at the lower level. You can take it at the school district level and see, you know, how, what happens when Indians move into one area. You will see there's a lot of migration of the other locals from that area outside. Mm-hmm. And especially because they don't want their kids to go study in the same school district, because they feel like they won't get the same opportunity they would get in a remote area.
But so in some cases, it becomes fatal. There are people who are actually killed as a result of some of this sort of stuff.
Yeah, I mean, that's a societal ill, and I'm hoping we're not talking about this year, and I don't want to get into that issue. And that's a topic we can address differently. But I feel like sticking to the topic here, I think what we can do to help ourselves is to integrate with the society and be recognized as one of them, mm-hmm. right? And to that, you know, you have to lose some of your Indianness. Mm-hmm. You have to be like them. You need to be able to celebrate what they celebrate, enjoy, or, you know, you need to be able to talk football and basketball with them, not only talk cricket all the time. And so that's the culture we have to imbibe. And even though the topic is Americanization of Indians, my point is, I think we have to Americanize if you want to live in the society.
So it's inevitable, is what you're saying.
It is important too. I mean, if you don't want to be a target, if you don't want to be, I mean, if you want people to, like, you know, if my kids go to school, I mean, they should be a homogenized class. They shouldn't be treated as, oh, those Indian kids in class. They should be, hey, they were all in my class. We're friends, and we'll stay friends for a lifetime, right?
So
that's what we need.
In the last 10 minutes, I want to pose each one of you a question, and starting with you, Sanchali. How successfully integrated do you think you are?
Probably 10%. So I have a big problem with American Indians, first generation. They do not go out and vote. That is a huge issue. They are all citizens of the U.S., but there's one in our midst today. So
I voted.
Who doesn't like to go and vote, especially in the primaries and stuff like that? So people have to be more aware. We are one of the most educated, you know, segments of the American society. So if we don't go out and, you know, execute our civil duties, it's a shame, you know. And we cannot complain after that we don't have correct representation, you know, in Congress or in politics, whatever. So that is my 2 cents worth.
So in my opinion, integration is an evolutionary thing. It's not going to, let's start tomorrow and go about integrating. It doesn't work that way.
Mm-hmm.
You can do it in a professional way at work. You can do it in a social way in your neighborhoods we pick. We all cluster into the Indian neighborhoods. That's the first mistake. There is no integration when we all go into Sugar Land, be in the same street. Eight homes are of Indian origin. You cannot get that integration. You can do it professionally, physicians, taking care of patients. The impression you create with the mainstream society that you come across is where the integration
is all
about.
But you know, we are in the remotest of the remote places with a motel or something like that. You will not find any little small town in the U.S. where there isn't a Patel motel.
Correct.
So
and
it's
that
not
interaction
like,
is what integration starts with.
So
right?
We are everywhere. You
we
know,
are
we are the most populated country in the world right now. So we are everywhere in every nook, cranny, and corner.
Well,
so,
but no, my question was, how integrated do you believe you and your family is?
So when you say family, I can say my kids, having grown up in Meyerland, which is We were the only Indian family in about 3-4 streets. I think they've become 70% integrated. Vegetarian, being vegetarian is a barrier for them. Beyond that, everything goes. For me, I would say about 35-40%.
And you, Balaji, what do you think?
Probably around the same level. I mean, it's, I think it's a difference between me and my wife, because I mean, you know, for me, it's a little higher because I'm going to work and I get to interact with a lot more people, and
yeah,
you know, it's a little more complicated for my wife because she doesn't get an opportunity to do that. But I mean, I'm sure if she had the same opportunity that I had, but she was working, then she would probably had the
yeah,
same level of integration that I have. But I mean, but there's an important point or distinction I want to make is I feel like I can say I'm integrated, but I don't know whether we are culturally integrated with our coworkers. And that's an important distinction I want to make, is that I think I can have conversations with them, I can go out and do things, but whether we would do things together as families, for example,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
Which is common in, you know, if you went to work in India and you met your coworkers, you develop friendships, you do that.
Right.
Do we do that actively with our American or the local I mean, not, you know, it could be people from all over the world.
Right.
Do we do that? I find that that happens a lot more in Europe, but in, and some of it has also got to do with the American culture, I think, because Americans are also a little distant.
Because everyone is an immigrant here. So,
well,
there are,
so here's
way too
a
many
saying
cultures.
I have to
yeah,
say this. Give me a second for that, Jawahar.
Yeah.
One of the signatures in a senior manager at Shell, his thing was integration, right? He would say being invited to a dance is okay, but being asked to dance at the dance program, to dance together, that is real inclusion.
That's really, really, that's a great
good point.
What
about you, Jawahar?
So I was just going to touch on that. So since my wife was not Indian, she's French. So my integration into this society became a lot faster.
Immediate almost. Yeah.
Well, not immediate, but the French are very proud of their heritage and their culture. And so we had a tri-cultural household. But we were able to, I think I'm about 75% integrated, if you know, it comes down to it. Because I measure that by some of the things that Balaji just said. The other thing is, how easy are you in with the slang that you use? How easy are you with the food that you eat? How easy are you with just picking up and doing the kind of yik-yak that you're referring
mm-hmm
to that needs to happen?
You know, I didn't realize when you asked the question, it's just about me. I thought it's general.
No, it's about you.
About me, I'm 50 to 60% integrated. Because, like I said, I've worked in the remotest of remote places, so you have to be integrated over there.
Right,
yeah,
right. Well, you know, we've got 7 more minutes to touch on this subject. Anyone want to come up with another original aspect? You, Sridhar, Balaji? Do you by the way, maybe this is the key here. You all have children. Sanchali, you don't.
I don't, yeah.
But are your children already married? Are they interracially married? Is that a thing that you're afraid of? Or is that a thing that's, you know, you embrace? Balaji, you first.
I don't think we're afraid of, because it's probably an eventuality. But will we accept it? How will it go? It's all a question mark for, I'm not just speaking for myself.
Why should there be a question at all about will you accept it? You have to.
So you're talking about you have to, but the issue is that if we don't know how, now, let's say, you know, my son marries into a white American family, you know,
or
how will the families interact?
Maybe an African American family.
Or an African American family, or a Chinese family, or, you know, whatever, or a Korean family, whatever it could be. How would we interact? I mean, so that's an unknown, right? So it's one of those unknown unknowns.
Well,
so to say to you have to accept it is one thing, but the unknown unknown is what frightens us, is that we would be more comfortable with somebody who's just like us because we know exactly how that works, even though
right. It's
complicated. But the unknown unknowns are difficult to...
What about you, Sridhar, real quick?
So I'm going to bounce it back to you. How long did it take for you to get adjusted? Because yours was an intercultural marriage.
Right. Well, I never grew up in India to begin with. So
you didn't have that.
I didn't have a lot of this problem.
So we have had this conversation with our kids, both of my kids being daughters. And my wife and I have come to the acceptance, not acceptance, agreement, that if the choice of the person is right, the culture that they are born in doesn't matter, and we can't fight it, we won't fight it.
Okay.
Good. What about you? Because your kids have...
Yeah, they have already become very much integrated. What I'm finding, and they're older now, so, and they have children of their own, what I'm finding is that they're very proud of their Indian heritage and their French heritage, and they want to cling on to it as much as they can.
So they inculcate all the different aspects.
Correct.
Two best cuisines, man.
And the key.
Two best cuisines.
That is absolutely right.
That's absolutely right. But the other thing is that they're clinging on to their language. And that is the key.
Identity stems from that.
Right. And so, it's been great talking about this. We should maybe talk about this again, couple of months down the road.
I would like to get one of next gen folks
to come and
in
talk
the studio,
about it.
Because we just blabber all we want from our perspective, but they need to have a voice in show this.
In that case,
bring your daughter.
I'm going to ask.
Today, you are in for a treat. We have two young men coming here who are Pakistani-American.
Uh-huh.
They're going to talk about their leadership position in gun control. And one of them is a junior at Rice University.
Mm-hmm.
The other one's graduating senior from right here. So we'll find out. Both of them are born and raised right here in the U.S.
Some questions you can ask them just as a tag along from this subject.
Mm-hmm. Right, but the fact of the matter is that they're involved in local issues,
mm-hmm.
and not necessarily Indian issues.
And we're seeing a lot of the second gen, of Indian origin.
So is it second gen? I got corrected.
Yes.
We are immigrants. Their first gen is what I got corrected it to be, not second gen.
Well, once you become an American, you become a first generation.
You are the
American.
First gen.
I got corrected on that by my children.
But you are an American citizen, right?
I am.
So you are first gen.
Is it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Your kids are mistaken. Well, folks, this has been great talk show. Hopefully you've enjoyed being here with us. And we want to be able to pick on some other people, some deep thinkers like Balaji and Sridhar to come in and talk.
So any final thoughts, Balaji?
You've got
30 seconds.
No, I just say I think this is a very deep topic and we need to continue to discuss this and see how we can get better integrated into the society.
Great, good point.
Like Sridhar said, I think we need more second gen representation,
And this is an evolving subject, so I guess we have done a fantastic job, in my opinion, as integrating, coming from where we have come and the values we have raised with and the traditions we were raised with and what we have done now, I think we've done a phenomenal job.
Right.
More to come. It's not over.
Well, folks, we hope that you've enjoyed this edition of Indo-American News Unplugged, where we talk about our Hey, what's up? Talk show. And we'll love to have you with us next Saturday also. But next Saturday, I think we have Jyoti who's coming in to do... Or the quiz. I don't remember anymore.
Okay. So but you're listening to Indo-American News Radio, and this was our unplugged session. And we will be back after the commercial break with our main segment of Indo-American News Radio. So stay tuned, folks. Don't go anywhere.
Bye.